Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Tzadi Hey. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, by Ron Markovitz, Lezecher Nishmas, Yosef David Ben Yetta Miriam, Alav Hashalom, Dr. Joseph Teitelbaum, by Moshe Zucker in honor of the first yahrzeit of his late father-in-law, Aryeh Ben Yoshua Citron, Alav Hashalom, by the Bruckheimer Family Fund in Hakaras HaTov for our shiur and loving memory of Hindelbas Eliakim HaKohen, Alav Hashalom, and by Shragi Brill, L'Rufua Shleima for Yonah Leib Ben Chaya Fega. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on Daf Tzadi Dalet and Beis. We're at the second wide line, V'chein Sa'oro, on Daf Tzadi Dalet and Beis. And we're going to talk about how many hairs one has to remove in order to be Chayiv for removing hair on Shabbos, and also dinim of removing fingernails, issues related to the malacha of gozes. Then we're going to talk about which malacha is violated in doing certain beautifications that a woman might do, that there are certain malachas that she may violate in doing those things, and that's going to lead the Gemara Namad Aleph to talk about a number of activities and try to identify the malacha that's violated. For example, when you milk a cow, when you strain the milk, when you make the cheese, when you sweep the floor of a house, when you sprinkle water on the floor of a house, or when you remove the honeycombs. So what malacha is violated in each of those activities? Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about removing from a flower pot, being kotzer from a flower pot, and what whether that's always going to be us, or does it make a difference if the flower pot has a hole at the bottom or not? And that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of Rabbi Shimon's Shita about an otzitz nakuv in general. If a flower pot has a hole in it, with legabe what halacha do we consider it to be mechuber lekarka, and legabe what halacha do we not consider it to be mechuber lekarka? And then the Gemara is going to talk about five different size cracks or holes that you might have in a flower pot, and or in any kli cheres for that matter, and legabe what halacha those different size cracks or holes are going to impact, which halachas are impacted by each of the five different sizes of the cracks or holes that you may have in a kli cheres. So let's begin the second wide line on Daf Tzadi Dalet and Beis. V'chein sa'aro, we said that a person who removes hair from his beard is chayiv as well. So tana anotam lo piyazu. Chayiv, how much hair do you have to remove? A scissorful, v'kamim lo piyazug, how much is that? I'm review the shtayim, two hairs. V'atanya ulekorcha shtayim, but don't we have a brisa that tells us when it comes to the isser of korcha, that's the isser to pull out hair as a sign of mourning. The pasuk says, v'lo sasimu korcha b'neinechem l'meis, you're not allowed to make a bald spot on your head. So how much hair pulling as a sign of mourning is aser? We said that you're chayiv when it's shtei sa'arosa. From the fact that the Brisa says that the shear of gozes and the shear of karcha in two different phrases, it sounds like dafka for karcha it's shtayim, but the shear of gozes for shilcha Shabbos melopi azug is not going to be the same number. Se'ema v'chein l'karcha shtayim. You just have to add one word. It's v'chein l'karcha, that we're making a parallel between gozes and karcha, that we're not saying, we're not drawing a contrast, we're making a parallel between them, and therefore the shear of both of those halachos is Shtei saras, tani nami achia, not al melo piyazug b'shabes, chayiv, v'kam melo piyazug shtayim, explicitly that it's two hairs. Rabbi Eliezer omer, achas, but Rabbi Eliezer says, even a single hair is chayiv mishum gozes, umodim chacham, Rabbi Eliezer, b'melaket levonos mitoch shcharos, shafilu achas chayiv. If on Shabbos you pull out a single white hair, then everyone agrees, even if normally you hold like the chacham, that normally it has to be two hairs to be chayiv mishum gozes, if it's a single white hair from among a head full of black hairs, that's going to be chayiv even if it's just one hair. V'dover zeh af b'chol aser, because that's aser even to do on a weekday. Mishum shenemar le'yilbash kever simlas isha, because the pasuk says that a man is not allowed to do feminine things, to wear feminine clothing. So pulling a black hair from white hair, pulling a white hair rather from black hair, is considered to be a feminine activity, and therefore aser during the week, a violation of le'yilbash, and therefore also considered to be a chashva act of removing hair, and aser on Shabbos as well, even though normally you have to remove two hairs in order to be chayiv on Shabbos mishum gozes. The Beralacha has a suffix in Simon Shin Mem and Ilcha Shabbos. What if there are other white hairs that are still left in the head? Right, if a person pulls out a white hair, the chances are he didn't get the very last one. He may be in denial, but probably there are others that are soon to follow or that have already followed. So he's not going to get every last white hair. So is that also a violation when you pull out a single white hair? white hair. So the Bir Halacha suggests, it seems to be mitzadeh to be machmir on that issue, because when it comes to the Isra of Lo Yilbash, the Isra of Mlakei Tzara Achas is even if you do leave many white hairs behind. That the Beis Yosef says explicitly in Yerodea Simin Kuf Pei Beis. So L'chora, we're making a parallel over here between Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Lo Yilbash. So if Midine Lo Yilbash pulling out a single white hair, even though there are other white hairs that are still there, is going to be Aser, so it's going to be an Iser on Shabbos as well. What about the reverse? What about if a person is pulling out black hairs from a head full of white hairs? So the Tosefta in Perek Yud, Halacha Ches, says even Malakit Shchoros Mitoch Levanos is Chayiv. It says, Anotam Lopi Azug Misa'aro Hareze Chayiv, Rabbi Elazar Amar Afilu Echad, Haborer Shchoros Mibain Levanos, Ulevanos Mibain Shchoros Chayiv. However, Rashi writes in Maseches Makos that the gears and the brice that's brought in the Gemara over there should not be Shchoros Mitoch Levanos, and in fact the Rambam in the 9th parak of Hilchos Shabbos sounds like Shchoros Mitoch Levanos is Potter. When he quotes the din, he says, V'imliket Levanos Mitoch Shchoros Afilu Achas Chayiv. He doesn't say anything about black hairs from white hair. So the Pashtus is that Tosefta is that it's either we're not gores that way in the Tosefta, or we don't paskin that like that Tosefta, that black hairs from white hairs is chayiv. Now there is a machlokas rishonim. The sheet of the Rambam is that over here the iser of being malakit levanos mitoch shcharos is an iser d'oraisa, and you get malchus for it. The Ravid, however, disagrees, holds it's only an iser d'rabbanan. This is somewhat challenging because there's a sugya maseches nazir and daf nun tasa meralef where you have machlokas between the chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov about the iser of lo yilbash gever simlas isha. The chachamim hold that the iser of lo yilbash gever simlas isha is only if you completely dress up like a woman and are yoshev bein anashim, meaning you try to infiltrate the women's locker room by making yourself look like a woman. That short of that, to put on one feminine article of clothing, but you have a beard or something like that, is not going to be a violation of lo yilbash. However, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov disagrees and says even a beged echad is going to be a violation of lo yilbash. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that even a single beged, and that's how the Rama paskins in Yerodeasim Kuf Pei Beis as well, that even a single beged is a violation. So what's the reason for the Yisra of even beged echad? Meaning, I understand if you're trying to commit some sort of, you're trying to, like we said, sneak into a woman's locker room or something like that, you're trying to look like a woman, so that's, and they're going to let their guard down or whatever, I understand, but a person just wants to look like a clown and he decides to put on a lady's hat or something like that. So what's the gedra of the Isser? So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos in Lo Sase Mem explains that the gedra of the Isser is that it's just a davra mevi lidei zima, that someone who does these things, it's a way of being miyape himself and making himself more attractive to women in some way, and it's just the kind of thing that lets when these barriers go down, the barriers of znus and zima in general go down, and so it's going to lead to inappropriate behavior. So the Debrezin Rez Tshuva in Be'er Moshe Cheleches Simon Ches, where he says, why does the Rambam assume that there's an Isser D'oraisa of pulling out one white hair among other black hairs? He says it's the Rambam L'shitaso, that there's an Isser of a woman wearing even a Beged Echad Shalish, or an Ish wearing even a Beged Echad Shalisha, like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds. So Levanos Mitoch Shchoros, you obviously don't look like a woman when you pull out one white hair, but it's just being miyapi yourself in a way that a woman would, because that's the kind of activity that leads to znus, and therefore it's going to be usher. So based on that svar, that the gedra of the isser is that it is any time you're miyapa to show women your beauty or whatever, to let these barriers go down. So Debrezin is makel in the shaila that he was asked about, which is not an uncommon shaila. If a person has premature graying, let's say you have a 16-year-old kid and his hairs are already turning gray, they're already turning white, so he feels like he looks like a 40-year-old man, and it's difficult for him in shiduchim. level 16, he's not hopefully in Shidduchim yet, but in a few years later, it's going to be difficult for him in Shidduchim, so is he allowed to dye his hair? So Deborah Tzina says, yeah, in such a case, he's allowed to dye his hair. Rav Eliashiv has a similar story. He talks about a fellow who has a beard, and half of his beard is white, and the other half of his beard is black. So it's not like graying in a natural way. It looks odd. So in such a case, he thought also that he could dye his hair one way or the other. If he wants to dye it black, or if he wants to dye it white, either way, it's going to be different. On Purim, there may be a different story. The Rama writes that there are certain kulas that we have in Purim because of the Simchas Hayom of Purim. But that's a major machlokas aposkim, whether someone is allowed to cross-dress on Purim. I once wrote a whole article about this. Okay, Tanya, Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Tziporin Shapirish Ruba, if you have a fingernail that most of it is coming off, it sits in Shapir Shuruban, or you have hangnails or little pieces of skin rather that are mostly off. So biyad mutter bekli chayiv chatas. If you remove it by hand, that's mutter, but to remove it by kli is a chayiv chatas nisudar raisa. So mi kamidi de bekli chayiv chatas biyad mutter lechachila. That sounds like two different extremes that you can have such a thing where if you do it bekli, it's a chayiv chatas nisudar raisa. You do it by hand and it's heter gomer. So hachi kamar pirshu ruba. No, what we mean to say is if it's mostly off, so biyad mutter bekli patra avlaser. To do biyad is mutter. To do bekli is nisudar banan. Lo pirshu ruban. If it's not mostly off, biyad patra avlaser. To do it by hand is nisudar banan. Bekli chayiv chatas. But to do it bekli is going to be a chayiv chatas. The reason they were matir being notal biyad is because of b'makom tsar were makel. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadim. Amar Ravida Alach Krabishim ben Elazar. We pass on the Krabishim ben Elazar that you're allowed to be notal biyad when it's pirshu ruban. Amar Rabbi Bar Bachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'usha pirshu klape maila. That's only if it's separated toward the outside of the body, mitzar, toward the fingernail, mitzaros or so, and causes a person tsar. But if it's mitzara guf, then it's still going to be asr because it's not causing a person tsar. But we see that we're mekel b'makom tsar over here. V'chena godeles, and we also the Mishnah said that someone who's godeles sa'ara or kocheles eneha or pokeses sa'ara, Rabbi Eliezer was mechayiv, and the Chum say that it's only an issur d'rabbanan. So godeles kocheles or pokeses mishumay mechayiv. What melacha is being done over here? Amar Rabbi Yevon, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, godeles mishum areges, that a woman who braids her hair, that's like weaving. Kocheles mishum koseves, a woman who puts on the blue makeup on her eyes or something, that's violation of kosev. So the achronim abadr kosev, you need shtei osios to violate kosev. So in the Sefer Vayivarech David, he says to be kochel the eye is like kosev in the sense of being gomer a sefer. That let's say you have the last letter of a sefer Torah, that's a chiv of kosev, even with os. So over here also, even though you don't write shtei osios, it would be a violation of kosev. And pokesas, and to part the hair, mishum tove, is a violation of tove, because she's being masaking the hair between her fingers and separated them from each other when they're tangled. So it's like detangling the hair. So Amar Rabban Kamed Rabbi Yavo, v'chiderach hariga b'kach, v'chiderach ksiva b'kach, v'chiderach tviya b'kach. Are these classic examples of weaving and ksiva and tove? Elam Rabbi Yavo, l'didim, farsh l'mined Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, that I heard a different explanation, and that is kocheles mishum tzava'as. Kocheles is also because of dying. Godeles upokeses mishum bona. And both braiding and parting the hair is a violation of bona. What v'chiderach binyan b'kach? Is that what you would call building? Probably the last thing you would think of when you see a woman combing her hair is that it's a violation of building. Says more in k'dedarsh Hashem v'minasya v'yivan Hashem elokim esatzela. Pasuk says that Hashem built the tzela, melamed shekila HaKadosh Baruch Hu lechava, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu braided Chava's hair, ve'evia etzel Adam, and brought her to Adam Rishon, shekein b'krak ha'yam, karin lekaliyasa b'niyasa, that in certain locations, they refer to braiding of hair as b'niyasa, as building. So we see that there is a violation of bona. Now l'chora, it doesn't seem to be real bona, because it's omed l'stira, and Tosfos writes inside Dalar of Beis that you're not chayiv mishum oreg with a malacha that's omed to be undone. So the Tos explains that no, by malachas bona it's different. You're chayiv even by a binyan that's omed lihisaser. Why? Because that's what the Mishkan was. The whole issur of bona is derived from the Mishkan, and the Mishkan was always put back together and taken apart again. So since that's the very source of the malacha of bona, so mela that's going to be in the gedder of the malacha as well. But by the malacha of oreg, even though the malacha on its own is miskayim and it's not nistar me'aleha, but once it's omed the stira, because people generally are soser braids that they make, that wouldn't be considered a malacha. Meaning, when we said v'chiderech ariga b'kach, what we meant to say is that it can't be called ariga when you're braiding your hair, v'chiderech ariga b'kach, because it's omed li'sasser. No one plans to leave it that way for the rest of their lives. So that's why it's not derech ariga. But by bona, even though you don't plan on leaving it that way, it's still derech bona b'kach, because that's the way they did in the Mishkan. That's how the Chazon Yecheskel explains. Okay, says the Gemara now. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Godelis, Kochelis, Upokesas, Liatzma Petura, Lechaverta Chayeves. She's Pater if she does it on herself, on her own hair. Rashi explains because she's unable to see her hair, so she's not going to be able to do a really great job of it, and therefore it's going to be Pater. Chazdei David points out from Rashi, it sounds like if she does it in front of a mirror, then it would be Chayev. But if she does it on somebody else where she could see really well what she's doing, then she's Chayev. The Chayna Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Isha lo tavir sarak al paneha, mipnei shetzova'as. A woman should not put on a colorful makeup on her face because that is a violation of tzoveya. It is a violation of dying. So that's why a woman doesn't put on makeup on Shabbos. Tan Rabbanan, acholei v'mechabitz v'megabin kigrogeres. If a person either milks an animal or separates the whey from the curds, or does the cheese making of the animal by combining the curds together, so kigrogeres. If he does a sheer grogeres, or hamechabed, the hamerabets, or if a person sweeps his house, or merabets is if there was dirt coming up from the dirt floors, they would sprinkle water on the floor to keep the dirt down, or vaharode chalus tavash, someone takes down honeycombs from the shogeg b'shabes. So he's if shogeg b'shabes chayev chatos. If he did any of these malachos b'shogeg on Shabbos, isidoraisa, he's chayev chatos. He's a biyomtov. If he did any of these things on yantiv b'mezid, loka arboim, then he's going to get 40 malkios, because on yantiv, even when you do b'mezid, you're not chayiv skila. On yantiv, it's just nisalav. The pasuk says kol melech savod lo sasu, kol melech lo yeasabehem. So, but if you're mezid on Shabbos, you're chayiv skila if you had asra, and kares if you didn't have asra. If you're shogeg on yantiv, you're not chayiv chatos, because since it's not a nisar kares or worse, so there is no chayiv chatos. So chayiv chatos is only for Shabbos. So that's why we emphasize by Yontif Dafka about Mezid. By Shabbos, we always assume Shogeg. Whenever we talk about a Nisa Daraisa, we want to say something's Nisa Daraisa, we say Chayev Chatas, because we're always assuming Shogeg. But by Yontif, if we assume Shogeg, we're going to leave out any Chiyuv. There's not going to be any Chiyuv. So that's why we say by Yontif that if a person is Mezid on Yontif, he's Lokar Boim. Diver Rabbi Eliezer. The Chum Om Rechotze Vechotze Einol Mishum Shvos. And the Chum say, now all of this is only Nisa Drabanan. It's all a Shvos. It's not an Isser. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda says in Yom Tov Lokar Ba'im, it's Pashtos, it's going on the entire Braisa. On Cholev, Mechabetz, Megabin, Mechabed, Merabetz, and Rodechalos Tavash. Right? That's what Tosus points out. So Tosus therefore raises a question that Cholev, Mechabetz, and Megabin, and Rodechalos Tavash are all Melachos of Ochel Nefesh. And Melachos of Ochel Nefesh are Mutter on Yantiv. So why are we saying that you get Malkus Arba'im if you do these Melachos on Yantiv B'mezid? This is Ochel Nefesh. You're allowed to cook on Yantiv, and you're allowed to do anything in food preparation on Yantiv. So you can't say that we're talking about where you did more than you need for Yantiv, because that's mutter also, because of the principle of Hol V'Maklai Archim Chazilei, that since guests can show up at any time, and it'll be worthy of feeding the of serving to the guests, so it is considered a Tzarech Hayom, even if you don't need that amount of food for the number of people that are in your house. People were asking during Pesach and Shavuos, where you're not supposed to be having guests during the COVID epidemic, which is still say a svara of hol v'miklay orchem chazile, because guests aren't coming. They're not allowed to come. You're not allowed to let them in your house. Okay, interesting discussion. But Tosa suggests, to answer his question, that the Brisa must be talking about in a case where you don't have the heter of ho'il. It's samach l'chashecha. It's right before dark. Or we're talking about a case where they're not roi l'achila. You're being roda dvash that's already niskalkal. You're taking honey down from the honeycombs and the honey's already ruined. Or you're being cholev a behema that's not not kosher, or you're being mechabit or megabin by using chometz of yayin nesach, which is also ba'anah. However, the Ramban and the Rashba work with a different assumption. They assume that when Rabbi Elazar says that b'yom tov loka es harboim, he's only going on the second half of the brisa, mechabit, merabit, and rode chalos tavash. It's not going on cholev mechabit to megabin at all. Oh, so then you're not going to be bothered with such a kasha, except for the chalos tavash part. So they have to deal with that part, but the cholev and all of that, the Ramban understands that the line about being hazed b'yom tov lo karboim doesn't go on that at all. Rav Nachman bar Gurya iklal in Nardar, he went to Nardar once. Bo minei cholev mishumay mechayev. What's the melacha of milking an animal on Shabbos? So amar lahu mishum cholev. Oh, it's milking. Mechabit mishumay mechayev. And what's the melacha of being mechabit? Amar lahu mishum mechabit. Megabin mishumay mechayev. Amar lahu mishum megabin. So he didn't give him any answer. He said he asked him what these activities are, what they're a violation of, and he was just repeated the activities that you're doing without identifying any melacha. So Rabbi Kotel Kani Be'agmahava. He says you're just cutting reeds in a swamp, meaning you're wasting time. You're not explaining a Mishnah properly. Asher Shal Be'Midrasha. So then Rav Nachman went and asked these same questions in the Beis Medrash. Amrulei. So there they had answers. Cholev Chayv Mishum Mefarik. Cholev is Nisur Mishum Mefarik. That if you take out food from inside it's that which is wrapped around it, it's a tolda of dash, and that's what chalev is. It's a tolda of dash, that just like by dash you're mefarik the chita from its dressing, so too the chalev you're mefarik the milk from inside the udder of the animal. Now there is a machlokas rabbidan lechachamim if you're chayv on disha shelo begidule karka, right? It's dash only by gidule karka or even non gidule karka. Over here we're saying milking an animal is dash, so Tosus points out that this brisa that's mechayiv mishum dash must hold like Rabbi Yehuda that there's disha even shalo begidule karka. However, the Ramban and the Rashba disagree. They say no, a behema is considered gidule karka. Why in the world would a behema be considered gidule karka? Because all it eats is stuff that grows from the ground, so its nourishment, its growth comes from the karka. Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Ayasha says that there are two types of mefarik. There's that which is enu gidule karka like cholev, where it's chayiv mishum mimachik, meaning when we say mefarik is chayiv mishum dash, not always. Some types of mefarik are chayiv for other melachos. So when it's enu gidule karka, it's mishum mimachik, because you're smoothing out the udder by milking. But by gidule karka, mefarik is chayiv mishum dash, and that memela takes care of the question. So those are three approaches to that question. Whatever happened to ein dash ela begidule karka? Tosfos' approach is we're assuming not that way. We're assuming dash applies even to non gidule karka. Ramban Virashba assume that a cow is gidule karka, and then you have Rabbeinu Tam that says no, not all dash, not all mefarik is mishum dash. Mefarik over here is mishum mimachik, smoothing. Mechabetz back in the Gemara is chayiv mishum borer, because you're separating the whey from the curd, so that's a violation of borer. And megabin chayiv mishum bona, and when one is megabin, one makes cheese, it's a chayiv mishum bona, because the Rambam describes in the seventh parak of Hilchos Shabbos, by gathering together different pieces and making a single unit out of it, that's a violation of bona. The Rashba raises the question, how can you say that there's binyan ba'ochlim? The Gemara says in Beit Zadav Chav Beis, ain binyan bekelim. So certainly you would think if there's ain binyan even bekelim, that ochlim is less of a binyan type activity than kelim are. So based on that, the Rashba brings a raya, like those that say that when we say ain binyan bekelim, that's only talking about a kli that is made up of different components that comes apart and gets put back together. That's not a violation of bona. But to make a kli from scratch, that is a violation of bona. So mele cheese making is making the food from scratch. That is a violation of bona. So says the Rashba. Amechabit Ram Rabbi Tzvar Rode Chalos Tavash Shagug B'Shabbos Chayev Chatas Hezid B'Miyom Tov Lo Karboim. So we said in the Brisa that if you sweep the house or put a sprinkle on the dirt floor or take out honey from the honeycomb, so if you did it b'shogeg, it's Chatzitza on Shabbos Chayiv Chatzitza because Nisa Daraisa, Bemezer and Yom Tov Loka Arbaim because Nisa Daraisa. That's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Amar Rabbi Elozar, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer think that Chalos Tavash are considered Mechubar Lekarka that you can be Chayiv Chatzitza when you detach from them? Because the Pasuk says in describing when we were fighting the Plishtim, Shaul said, Shaul made a curse on anyone who eats that evening, until that evening, and Yonasan ben Shaul didn't know about that curse because he was out on a scouting mission, and he took his Ktzeh Amata and he was tovelit in the Ya'aras HaDavash, and he put it to his mouth. So why does it call the honey the Ya'aras HaDavash? What does a forest have to do with Dvash? Elomel has to tell me a din. Just like if a person removes something from a forest, he's chayiv chatos, it's a violation of being kotzer. So too, if someone takes honey off of the honeycomb on Shabbos, he's also chayiv chatos. So that's how we see that rodeh chalos devash is an issur daraisa on Shabbos. Amemar shorez zilcha b'mechuzah. Amemar allowed sprinkling water on the houses in mechuzah. Amar taima my amar rabbanan delmasi l'shvui gumos. Why do they not allow sprinkling water? If there's dirt coming up, what malacha is violated when you're sprinkling water? So we said it's bona. Where's the bona involved in that? Now the concern is if you're going to do that, you'll also be mashve gumos. That if there are any holes in the ground, you're going to straighten out those holes, and that's going to be a violation of bona. So hacha leku gumos. But over here in Machuza, there are no holes in the ground because they used to have marble stone floors. So since they had stone floors, there was no gumos. There was nothing to the tiled floors. There was no gumos. There was nothing to be mashve. So since that's the situation, Tosfos points out on Daf Chav Tesam Beis, that's the situation in the entire city. Everyone has houses with flooring. Therefore, there's no gzer shemashve gumos when you sprinkle some water down, even in a house that doesn't have the flooring. But if you have one house that happens to have tiles, and all the rest of the houses are a bunch of dirt floor huts, so then it would still be us, it would still be a low plug. That's what Tosfos writes. The Gemara in Pesachim of Samuel Amud Aleph tells us that there used to be Madiach, the Azara in the Mikdash, Shalob Ritzon Chachamim, that they did it against the sheet of Rabbi Lazar, holds that Rebutz is Nisud Daraisa. So Tosfos says, but wait a second, the Karka of the Azara Zara had flooring on it, and we're saying that it's not a violation of being mashva gumos when there's flooring on the karka azara. So Tosos suggests that by the azara, even though there was flooring, there was a gap between each tile, and therefore there was a legitimate concern of being mashva gumos in between the tiles. Or Tosos says that Blazar asked in the Mikdash only because of a gzera that you'll come to be madiach karka that's not merut sefes, where the iser is an iser minatora. They don't ask a shvus in Migdash. Yeah, but when it's a shvus krova, when it's a shvus that's very, very likely to lead to nisa daraisa, such a shvus they even answered in the Migdash. Rabba Tosva Ashke the Ravina de Kamitzta'ir Mehevla. He saw that Ravina was bothered by all the dirt that kept coming up from the floor. Hevel means like thick air. So you have dirt coming up from the floor, made the air difficult to breathe. Va'armila Mark Shisha Braid Rava Ashke Va'armila, and some say that Mark Shisha Braid Rava Ashke the Ravashi de Kamitzta'ir Mehevla. That it was different people, that it was Mark Shish Brei Rava who found that Ravashi was having trouble breathing the air. So Amalei, Losav Lamar Laha, the Tanya, don't you know the Braisa, Harotza, the Rabbi, Tzespes, of Shabbos, maybe a Reva Malei Mayim, Vrochitz, Panav Zavazu, Yadav Zavazu, Raglav Zavazu, Vinim Sabayis, Mishabis, Meilav. Don't you know the trick? Take a pail full of water, wash your hands in one corner of the house, wash your feet in the other corner of the house, wash your face in another corner of the house, and then the whole house will be Merubitz, you have no problem. Amalei, Lavadatai, ooh, I forgot that trick, so I didn't know. So now, it's a good etza. So Tana Isha Chachama Merabetzes Beis of Shabbos. The Brisa says an Isha Chachama, an Eishes Talmud Chacham, can do this on Shabbos. Could be Merabetz Beis through this Harama on Shabbos. The Ramban writes that you're allowed to do that because it's not Karov to be Mevi Lidei La Shvuye Gumos, to actually be Mevi Lidei Bona. So so it sounds from the Ramban that when we say an Isha Chachama can do this, we're saying who's the most likely candidate to know about this is an Isha Chachama. But anyone is really allowed to do this. It's not a heter specifically for an Isha Chachama. The Rimi Lunil, however, disagrees. He says, no, a Talmud Chacham and an Isha Chachama are allowed to do this Harama, but other people are not, because to do Harama with something that's Asa Midrabanan is only mutter for a Talmud Chacham, who's not going to then falsely be Medama Milsa Lemilsa and take liberties in other areas. The Gemara is going to say later on, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, that even though you're not allowed to go into a Sfina on Shabbos, if you know that the Nachri is going to be Molech the Sfina and be Mavir Mitzad Litzad, because of a Gzera that you're going to make a Kli in order to have a flotation device, but if he's a Talmud Chacham, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to be Marim to enter into a way that it doesn't look like you're going in there and then it looks like you're just going in there to sleep, and since you do such Arama, that's going to be Mutter. Yeah, for a Talmud Chacham to do such Arama is going to be Mutter. So we do have certain things where we're less concerned for Talmidei Chachamim v'nasho sehem. So that's when Rimi Lunil says that's what the Gemara means over here. Va'inna desfir lan Rabbi Shimon shari afilu l'chadchila. But nowadays, are we passing like Rabbi Shimon that a davar she'en miskaven is mutter? So this whole idea of being sprinkling the water, you have no kavana to be mashvegumos. It doesn't seem that it's a psik reshe, and therefore it's going to be mutter anyway because it's not a violation of being mashvegumos. Okay, new Mishnah. Hatolish miatzitznak. If a person pulls out something that's planted from a flower pot that has a hole in it, so chayiv, he's chayiv for being tolish on Shabbos, because that's considered to be mechuba lekarka. She'enu nakuv potter, but if he pulls out a leaf, let's say, from a flower pot that does not have a hole at the bottom of it, he's potter, because it's not mechuba lekarka. Still also means Rabbanu, but potter. Rabbi Shimon potter bezel bezel. Rabbi Shimon holds a great chiddush, that even if the flower pot has a hole at the bottom, still going to be potter. So Rami le'abai l'rava va'armi l'rabbi chia barav l'rav, someone asked the following stira. On the one hand, our Mishnah says Rabbi Shimon poter, bazeh bazeh, al menakov Rabbi Shimon kisheinu nakov mashvilei. Rabbi Shimon treats a natzitz nakov and a natzitz sheinu nakov exactly the same, that they're both considered to be talush min hakarka, neither is considered to be attached to the ground. But Uriminu aleski astira, because we have a brisa, Rabbi Shimon omer, ein bein nakov l'sheinu nakov el lachshus ram bilvad, that there is a difference between a natzitz nakov and a natzitz sheinu nakov as far as hechsher l'kabul Tumah. Something can only become Huchsha Lekabel Tumas Ochlin if it's already detached from the ground. And Rabbi Shimon says, yes, any food growing in a flower pot that does not have a hole in it is ready to be Huchsha Lekabel Tumah. But if it's growing in a flower pot that has a hole in it, such food cannot become Huchsha Lekabel Tumah. So you see that Rabbi Shimon distinguishes between Natsitz Nakov and Natsitz Shein Nakov. How can Rabbi Shimon say over here that there's no distinction? So that's the way some Rishonim understand the Kasha. It's not so posh that's the best way to understand the kasha, because did Rabbi Shimon say in our Mishnah never ever to make a distinction between Natsitz Nakov and Natsitz Shein Nakov? He said the Gabi Hilcha Shabbos, we don't make such a distinction, but we're going to go with that understanding. So Amalei, Rava said to Abaye, L'chol mili Rabbi Shimon Ketolish Mashvilei. Generally, you're right. Rabbi Shimon completely equates Natsitz Nakov and Natsitz Shein Nakov. V'shayni linya Tumah. Tumah is the exception. Tator rips the tarets al zroim. Shnerma kol zeru asher yizareya. There's an extra riboy dafka when it comes to zroim to be marba extra tahara. So there's one case where even though something should be considered like talush and therefore should be ready for a hechsher lekabel tumah of tumas ochlin, but since the Torah goes out of its way to be marba, an extra level of tahara, so we have to apply it to something, so we apply it to a natzitz nakov. We apply that extra level of tahara to a flower pot that has a hole at the bottom of it. Usaba asked Rabbi Zeira the following question. Tosus and Chulin Davav says that anytime it says Ahusaba, it's Eliyahu Hanavi. But then he quotes such a daya, then he rejects that daya. Maritz Chaya says, and Tosis over there has kashas in that. But anyway, so Ahusaba, probably not Eliyahu Hanavi Tosis. An older person asked Rabbi Zeira, Shorish Kenegad Negev Maliyam Rabbi Shimon. What would Rabbi Shimon say if there's a root that comes out from that hole? You want to tell me there's a hole at the bottom of the flower pot, the flower pot's not considered connected to the ground, but what if it is? What if there's actually a root that connects the contents of the flower pot to the ground? Ishtik v'lam alev lo midi. So he didn't respond. Some of the Achronim say, we're not asking whether the root is Mechubel HaKarka. That obviously is. We're asking about whether the rest of the contents of the flower pot are now considered to be mechubel lekarka because of that one root that goes through that hole. So he didn't have a response. Zimnechada ashchei. So another time that Zaken found Rabbi Zera, the Yosef Akamer, Rabbi Zera was darshening. Umod Rabbi Shimon shimnike b'kteita raso. That Rabbi Shimon is moda that if the hole in the flower pot is large enough that the flower pot on its own would no longer be considered a viable kli, then it's considered mechubel lekarka. Then the contents of the flower pot are considered mechubel lekarka. So he says, Hashta shorish kneged nekev bayiminach v'lo amarta v'lo midi. I asked you where there's an actual root coming out, and you weren't sure that that's considered mechubel lekarka. Where there's an actual root going through the hole and connected to the ground, and you still weren't sure. Nikev b'kteita rasa mibayi. So you need to tell me that it's nikev b'kteita rasa where there's nothing actually going through that hole, and now you're sure about that. You should have had the same suffix at the very least, that maybe that's also not considered attached to the ground. If you want to say Rabbi Zeira's statement that Rabbi Shimon is moda in a certain case that an otzitz nakuv is considered to be mechuba to the karka, you did, you got it all wrong. It's not if it's nikev b'ktei ta'araso. That would not be enough to be mitaher to say that it's not that it's now mechuba l'karka. Rather, the way to say it is moda Rabbi Shimon she nikev l'mata mirevius. Rabbi Shimon is moda that if the hole in the otzitz at the bottom is in such a way that the otzitz would not be able to hold a revius beneath that hole, that's when it's considered mechubel lekarka. It's not about the size of the hole as much as it is the location of the hole. So if it's low down on the flower pot, where the flower pot now cannot hold a revius of liquid in it, or a revius of anything in it, so since the kli is not machzik revius, it's not considered a kli, so mela, the contents of the flower pot, are considered to be attached to the ground. Amar Rav, chamish midos b'kli cheres. Once we're talking about a kli cheres, we'll discuss there are five different cracks or holes that you can have in a kli cheres that have halachic significance on different levels. So nikev kemotzi mashkev. So the halacha is if there's just a tiny crack enough that liquid would drip out of the kli, tarim l'tami gistera. So then if it's an already broken kli, it's no longer going to be makabel tumah. Meaning a kli that's broken in half, if it's still somewhat functional, can still be makabel tumah. But not if it's broken in half and has a crack that liquid would seep out of. But vadayin kli l'kadosh b'meichatos. But if you have a full kli that just has a crack in it, even if liquid would spill out, would drip out of it, it's still considered enough of a kli that you could prepare the mechatas. I don't know why they would choose such a kli to prepare the mechatas. It's valuable stuff, the mechatas. Paradumas don't come along that often, but theoretically, it would still be enough of a kli to prepare the mechatas. Nike bekonis mashka, if the hole is so large that not only would liquid drip out of it, but liquid could drip into the kli through such a hole, tarmi l'kadosh b'mechatas. Such a kli you cannot use for preparation of the mechatas, but vadayin kli ulachshe bozroim. But it's still considered a kli as far as hechshel lekabel tumah is concerned. Meaning that which is growing in that kli, in that if it's a flower pot, is considered to be talush min hakarka and therefore subject to hechshel lekabel tumah, because such a tiny hole is not enough to take yinika from the karka. Such a tiny hole is not enough to supply the plant with any serious nourishment from the karka. Nike kishorish katan, let's say the hole is a little bigger, big enough that a small root could be able to go through that hole. Tor milakshav zroim. Now the zroim that are growing in that flower pot are now considered mechubel lekarka. They're not subject to tumas ochlin, to actual lekabel tumah of tumas ochlin. It's considered to be mechubel lekarka. But vadayin kli hu lekabel bozesim. But such a hole would still be considered a kli that's able to be mechubel tumah if used as a regular kli to hold olives. Because kol zman that you could still use it to store your olives, it's a kli, so it could still be mechubel tumah as a kli. That which grows inside of it maybe cannot be mekabel tumas tumas ochlin, but the kli itself is still a viable kli. You wouldn't throw it out. You would still use it. Nikev kemotzi zeisim. But if it had a hole in it large enough that olives would just fall through that hole, then tar mil kabel bozesim. Then it's tar as a kli. Vadayin kli lekabel bo rimonim. But it could still be a kli if you decide that you're going to be miyachid the kli to hold larger fruits. That you see that it has a hole, that olives would fall right out of the hole, so it's tahar. But if you now decide that this kli is no longer going to be used as an olive storage kli, it's going to be used as a fruit bowl for pomegranates, and pomegranates are perfectly are held perfectly well in such a kli, then it's going to be tameh, it's going to be mekabel tumah. Nikev kemotzi rimonim, but if it's such a large hole that that pomegranates would fall right through, Torah miklum. Well, then even there's no being miyachidit for anything else. Then it's even if you decide, oh, I'll use it for watermelons. No, it doesn't help. Then it's already a kli that is not makabel tumah. It's not a kli at all. Now, when it comes to tumas ohel, there is a halacha that a kli cheres that's mukaf tzamid pasil. If you have a kli cheres that's sealed in its opening, you could bring it into an ohel ames, and the kli cheres will not become tameh. The seal will set, because a kli cheres can only become tameh mitocho, not megabo. It can only become tameh from the inside of the kli. So if you seal off the inside of the kli and then you bring it into an ohel ames, it's not going to become tameh. So along those lines, v'im hukaf tzamid p'seal, if you have a kli cheres that's surrounded by a that's covered by a tight covering, achi pachis rubo, the tumah cannot get through any of these holes inside such kelim until the majority of the kli is broken. So it sounds like only such a large hole that it's yipachis rubo that tumah can get in. So I'm Rav Asi Shemati kli cheres yuri kemotzi rimon. I heard that the shir of a kli cheres to be metayrit is kemotzi rimon. Amalei Rav Hashem lo shamatel b'mukav tzamid pasil. That maybe that you heard that as far as ohel ames, because we said before kimotzi zesim already standard and standard kli, as long as it has all that's motzi zesim, it would be tar. Motzi rimon is only if you're miyachidit for rimonim already, but so maybe you heard that as far as the size of the hole in a kli and in ohel ames. But wait a second, isn't Rava the same guy that said that you need rov of the kli to be broken, that the kimotzi rimon is not enough? Says mar lo kasha habiravrvi habizutri. A simple solution. When Rava said Ashi Yipachis Rubo, that was talking about a large kli that are not nifsal from being matil masha betocham unless most of it is broken up. But that which Rava said to Rav Asi, Shemelo Shamatel Kamotzi Rimon, that's talking about a small kli cheres, that a small hole that's only motzi rimon, it already takes away the shame kli and it will not be matzil that which is betocho. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow on the first line of Daf Tzadi Vav Amid Aleph. Everyone should have a great day. Yeah.